Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones. Call in and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time, yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Oh boy, and it's American. Off. Flying at the fan today. Here we are, another exciting adventure of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my debonair, my suave.
I think Annie was introducing me. Annie, you got to hit your mic up. We lost you again. welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here for Southern Sense on this Tuesday, the 4th of February. Always an exciting version. And today, not only to go with a great episode, as always, or a great dedication, but, and he'll be calling back, or Annie will be jumping in shortly, Trevor Loudon is our guest today. Now, you may remember Trevor. Trevor has been with us before. He's got a great new book, The Enemies Within, Communist, Social, and Progressives in the United States of America. He's also going to be making a tour. So Trev will be doing the tour as far as for Tea Party places, many conservative groups all around the country. And he'll be joining us within the next 15 minutes or so. And we do have Annie back.
Yeah, it was Skype. Skype dropped me.
Yep. Well, anyway, Trevor's new book, The Enemy Within, Communists, Socialists, and Progressives right here in our very own country, the United States Congress. I don't know if it's available on shelves, but I'm sure he'll tell you about it. But I am actually going to go see him in Peoria, Illinois, which I believe is a week from Friday, so on the 14th. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. And the book, believe it or not, is 2 years in the making. And it covers from 2013 to 15, and it's 688 pages. Needless to say, I did not get that far into the book. So I am still plowing through it because I've only had the book for a short while. But Trevor will be joining us at 3:45. In the interim.
Go ahead, Mike. I was going to say I've only been able to see the excerpts, but it's very interesting. It reminds me a lot of Michael Savage's book, also very much with the same title, The Enemy Within. And one of the great things about Trevor's book, it goes in depth not only to Congress people, but actually some of the laws that they are writing are almost word for word from other policies, and guess what other countries? Communist countries, socialist countries, almost like they went into their archives, copied and pasted them, and basically replaced their country's name with the United States.
Absolutely. We'll be talking with Trevor. He'll be calling in again, as I said, in a few minutes. Everyone that listens to our show knows that we do a dedication to a fallen hero, and today's dedication is going out to two fallen heroes. And this is Army Chief Warrant Officer Andrew Elvick Adams and Sergeant Drew M. Scobie. They were both killed in a plane crash January 10, 2014, while serving in Operation Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan. And this is from the Wyoming News. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Andrew McAdams, 27, was confirmed killed in action in the early morning hours of January 10, 2014. According to Wyoming Military... My finger slipped. According to Wyoming Military Department Public Affairs Officer Deirdre Forster, McAdams was one of three Americans on board an MC-12 twin turboprop reconnaissance aircraft that crashed in eastern Afghanistan during a nighttime mission. All I can tell you is he's deployed with Detachment 53, Operational Support Airlift Command, in October for a 9-month deployment, Forster said. We have to wait for the Department of Defense to release further details. A Cheyenne resident, McAdams was a 2004 graduate of Cheyenne's East High. In late 2009, he attended the U.S. Army Warrant Officer Candidate School at Fort Rucker, Daleville, Alabama, and upon graduation was appointed the rank of Warrant Officer 1st. While DOD has yet to finalize details of the crash that claimed McAdams' life, early media reports indicate that the International Security Assistance Force blamed the crash on an aircraft mishap. An unnamed defense official was cited saying there are no indications the aircraft was brought down by enemy fire. Forster said, McAdams is the 6th Wyoming Army National Guard soldier to die in service since September 11, 2001. She added that memorial arrangements are still pending. Andrews leaves behind his wife, 3-month-old daughter, and countless people who he touched, said Randy Phillip of Puyallup, Washington. And this is from Military Community Examiner. Sergeant Drew M. Scobie, 25, of Kilauea, Hawaii, was killed in the same accident. He was assigned to Headquarters and Headquarters Battery, 1st Battalion, 487th Field Artillery, Waiahia, Hawaii, Army National Guard, Oahu, Hawaii. An unnamed American private contractor was also killed in the crash, which remains under investigation by the military. Sergeant Scobie was assigned to Headquarters and Headquarters Battery, 1st Battalion, 487th Field Artillery in Waiahia. Sergeant Scobie was a fire directions operator for the artillery battalion. He had volunteered to deploy to Afghanistan with DEET 55, which was currently providing reconnaissance and surveillance for the International Security Assistance Forces in Afghanistan. DEET 55 was mobilized on October 8, 2013, and deployed to Afghanistan later that month. This was his first deployment. Sergeant Scobie is survived by his wife, McKenna, who is expecting their second child, and son, Duke, parents, and many extended family members. The family has asked for more time to grieve and is asking for privacy. Major General Darrell D.M. Wong, State Adjutant General, and other staff members have met with the family. Our hearts go out to the Scobie family. They are obviously a very tight-knit Ohana and are still devastated. The Hawaii National Guard is doing everything it can to assist McKenna and the entire family in their time of need. The Scobie family released the following statement. We continue to celebrate the life of Drew Scobie, loving father, husband, son, grandson, brother, friend, and hero. Drew loved his family deeply, proudly, and heroically carried the Aloha spirit wherever he went to defend our country. Drew's zest for life was contagious and always made his family proud. He will remain example for his son Duke, his unborn baby, his entire family, and the many who are touched by his upbeat and positive attitude for everything he did. Drew will always be in our hearts, and his spirit will live on and become part of the essence of our islands, just like the breeze on the ocean. Love knows no distance, and Drew is here and will always remain in our hearts. We dedicate this show to Sergeant Scobie and to Chief Warrant Officer Andrew McAdams. And we dedicate this song, My Name is America, by Todd Allen Herndon. You can find them up on YouTube and download them for free. God bless them all.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up. Believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is
America. If you heard me, I'll get
as we said before, Mike, we got an exciting show here today and a very wonderful guest. So I'd like to welcome aboard Trevor Loudon. Good afternoon, Trevor. Trevor, are you with us? Okay, Mike, you marked down Trevor was here on the line.
Well, I think that's him.
No, actually, you know whose line that is that I just unhooked? That's
Thomas.
Thomas. That's Thomas.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Annie. How are you?
My co-host put you down as, you know, our guest.
Before Trevor calls in, Thomas, what did you think of the State of the Union address? We haven't heard from you in a couple of days.
Well, just to be honest with you, I'll tell you what I think. He was an idiot, but can I, if I might real quickly address something else?
Go ahead.
The division between conservatives over the commercial, the Coca-Cola commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I literally had another conservative call me an angry white conservative because I sounded like them. And my whole point, what I was trying to explain to her, was that I have no problem with the people. It was the blatantly obvious political agenda behind the commercial due to the fact that the Coca-Cola CEO was a big Obama donor bundler. He was a bundler for the Obama presidential campaign. And so, you know, the whole thing I was trying to explain to her was that the division, the lashing out at other conservatives and all this stuff, it needed to stop. These people even attacked Colonel Alan West in this post, and that's why I said something, because some of them who probably never contributed a day to their life in their life to anything, and they're going to attack a man who gave 23 years of his life, a United States Lieutenant Colonel. You can disagree. We as conservatives can disagree. Mike, I don't always agree with some of your libertarian views, but I love you to pieces, and I don't bash you for it. And that was my whole point. But yet, she's going to be condescending to me to the point that she unfriended me. And I rearranged my whole Facebook page because enough is enough. So that's all I wanted to say about that. It's really stupid that we pulled up something so trivial, and when I tried to explain to her that, you know, you can't be bashing them for their views, she just unloaded on me, basically.
Well, so. Anderson, what's his name, dedicated almost a whole soul to that. You know, let's keep in mind, many of these companies, Coke has always done those type of commercials. People just love to make issues of nothing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Coca-Cola. They always I like to have the world to sing and keep a company,
yes,
all in,
yes,
harmony. I mean, over and over. And just 2 years ago, they were all pissed off at Danica Patrick. Remember, she had that thing where her shirt fell off and they blurred her boobs out. And, oh, I mean, you always have something walking away from whatever event, whether it's an award ceremony, a Super Bowl, whereas,
right,
even Fox is making an issue of it. You know, is Coke a communist country? Their colors are red and white. Oh, God. Never ever an end. In many ways, the people who make these commercials, they know,
right,
they want to spark something. Because you know,
exactly,
what this is? This is free advertising. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. Yeah, I think we need to do that with my Playboy energy drink, and then I become one of them tycoons.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
exactly,
they also have a new commercial out for Obamacare, and they use cute little cuddly pets. They got a parakeet, they've got kittens, they've got some dogs in it, and they sing this song, and I don't remember who the artist is. It's one of these popular new artists. Mike, you would probably know, some female singer, that she sings this song about, you know, You give me treats, so I want you to be healthy, so buy health insurance. So, and I'm looking at this thing, and they're appealing to women and, you know, to younger generation. But people, I don't think it's going to affect them. I don't think they're going to go out and buy health insurance simply because some famous artist is singing through a cat.
Yeah, so, Thomas, you got to turn your volume a little down. I was going to mention,
we'll get
too,
back here.
Speaking of that, I didn't mean to change the subject, but I'm going to put a post a link. I got to find the link, but I'm going to post it in our chat room, that another country is handling a lot of the Obamacare website. And it's a communist country. I got to look up and find the name of it and post it online.
You're talking about Belarus. Belarus has direct.
There you go.
Yeah,
they're going to have Annie and Yanni's info, Thomas's info, my info.
Well,
so,
I was catching this just before we went on. They have a direct connection to the people that built the website. So now they think Belarus has stuck malicious software into the website to capture information. There's malware inside the healthcare.gov website because Belarus is not a state ally. They are a state enemy.
Let's just shut up, march, and mind our own business. None of our concern anyways. It's only our identity thefts.
I think I got a cat in one of my closets. I just heard something go thunk behind me. Anyway, Mike, why don't you... play one of the songs that we have in the reserves. I'm going to try to see if I can get Trevor in on by calling into him because it looks like he's not calling in. So let me see if I can get a hold of him. Okay?
Oh, go right ahead.
All right.
I'm going to take this time out to do a little editorial. Wow, screw everything up if I can. Recently, during the State of the Union address, the president had acknowledged many of issues, one of which is a continuation that is tradition of the State of the Union. In most cases, they are strong. Well, hang on a second. All right, that should take care of that. Our state is strong. Obama to have created, what, 7 million, 8 million? Okay. Our governor in Michigan claims that he created 7. Hey, Trevor? Oh, Trevor's going to be talking to Annie, so we'll bring him on. Our governor claims in Michigan that he's created 7. So 7 of those 8 million jobs have been created in Michigan? Right. Barack Obama also talking about all this manufacturing coming back to the United States. Well, one of the things they've done over the last year and a half, 2 years, if you are working in the fast food business or you're working Walmart, Target, stocking shelves, that they can call that production now. That is considered manufacturing. Therefore, even if you're not in that type of business, as the president says, we've created 8 million new jobs. Half of these are manufacturing. Well, those are really fast food or production jobs such as Target, Walmart, many of the Costco's that I have mentioned before. And I don't know why we let him get away with this. We as people need to get a hell of a lot more proactive. We need to start emailing from the drain commissioners, from the dog catchers, all the way to our U.S. senators and presidents constantly. We need to be such a pain in their booty to let them get away with this kind of stuff. As I turn it back to Annie, it's just a tragedy. And you know what? It begins with you and I. Well, you can't blame the president for giving all this blah, 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 padded stats or even false stats. Well, nobody calls him out on it because the only person that's going to change it who calls him out is going to be you and I. It's not going to be Congressman Jones, even if he's a Republican. It's not going to be Senator Smith, even if she's a Democrat. It's going to be you and I. And it begins and ends with me. Annie?
Well, I called out my Senator Graham today, and he put up 2 postings on his Facebook page. And one of them, he's calling Obama out on his back-to-back lies over Obamacare. Remember, if you like your health care, you can keep your health care. 38 times Obama said that. Well, Lindsey Graham is calling the president out on that. Well, that's fine and Jim Dandy. But hello, Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, my senator. Did you or did you not vote for closure? By voting for closure, you allowed Obamacare to come out of committee, to go onto the floor and to be voted on straight party lines, fully aware, you fully knew, Senator Graham, that by voting for cloture, you would vote to pass Obamacare. You brought it to the floor, you allowed the vote to come through, and now you own Obamacare. Saying you voted against it once it was on the floor doesn't mean diddly squat. You voted for cloture, you allowed it to pass by voting for cloture. So, Lindsey Graham, I posted that up on your Facebook page, and I got into a little bit of an argument with someone else, but I said, I'm sorry, you own it, Senator Graham. So calling President Obama out is showing how two-faced you are. Secondly, you're going after Obama and you're making a lot of noise, like an empty barrel, about Benghazi. But what actually have you done? Have you brought anything into an investigative committee? No. You talk about it. You talk a good game. However, Senator Graham, 2 months and 3 days after Benghazi, that was 16 months ago, 2 months and 16 and 3 days after the Benghazi incident, after that terrorist attack, you went on CNN and you praised Hillary. You went out and gave her a hug and kiss. You praised her, saying she was the best Secretary of Defense ever. So, Lindsey Graham, we're gunning for you. We're coming after that seat, and you're going to be retired. And you're going to be retired on Election Day in this coming November. Now, I do believe I got to catch my breath after that rant. And I do believe we have our guest here. Is this Trevor? Trevor, are you with us? It's listed as Alex J. Beverly.
No, I was listening. Then I heard something, and I wanted to comment on. But no, I'm not. I'm probably not who you're expecting to hear.
All right. No. Well, I know Trevor's calling in just a few minutes. He's right smack in the middle of having a milkshake. So as soon as he finishes his milkshake and gets back to his car, he'll call in. But go ahead, Alex.
All right. Let him make a pop. Go ahead, and speak now. Forever.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I think I heard. I was listening in, and I think I heard someone say that we pretty much basically Congress isn't going to hold Obama accountable for you're talking about kind of the reclassification of manufacturing and production. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, that's me.
And that essentially it's we have to do it. We have to call him out. Well, I mean, it sounds good in principle, but I think that we have to be realistic about how the usurpation of powers of our news media of just the media in general, where there's no longer there really is just programming on TV, and there's really no way for or very little means for regular people to have a voice They don't seem to, when it comes to the media, which controls most of people's thinking, it's that the media is not controlled by regular people. It just isn't. I mean, it just blows my mind just the things that the American media, Fox, CNN, all of them, MSNBC, all of them, they completely ignore, and we have no control over that. And
well,
so,
Alex, I think I should correct you on one thing. We do have control. We have avenues such as here, Blog Talk Radio, and there's also a lot of social networks that we have been using where things have gone viral. His statement about creating 8 million jobs, once he said that, across all the social media, people are going, oh, yeah, you created 8 million jobs, but how many more did you cause us to lose? And those questions are being asked, but they're not being asked through mainstream media. They're being asked through the social networks that are being put out there on blogs. So I think the mainstream media is missing one huge point. They can't stop the internet.
Well, I think Alex is accurate in the statement that, Alex, the media is nothing more than companies. It's no different than if I want to get a message out. Rupert Murdoch has a message, and it's his company. And he hires people who are going to carry his message. It may as well, in many, many ways, be Joseph Goebbels. But whatever the message is, they're going to carry it. And I think that's accurate. I think they purposely are buying up media Rupert Murdoch just recently bought like 100 print media newspapers. Now, as we all know, print media is not what it was, but I think he bought them just to pretty much end their existence. And I think that's accurate. And Annie, I think you're right too. We have to use the venues of social media, or in many, many ways, what we don't do is utilize the resources of history. For many years, Jewish people were being treated different, so they formed their own banks, their own co-ops, and their own little neighborhood coalitions and rise up. We need to do the same thing. And whether it's Blog Talk Radio or whatever the case may be, we need to use whatever at our disposal, our means of disposal, to get the message across. And we're doing a very poor job. I know I do the best I can at times, but I could do a lot better. I just think my whole point in that is, if you listen to most political speeches, it doesn't matter what party, doesn't matter who was president, doesn't matter any speech, a mayor, a governor, a senator, they give you that just this fake, ballooned up numbers and whatever, and they stand up and cheer and stand up and cheer. Who really calls that person out on it? The media just isn't. We need to in mass quantities. I'll give you a perfect example. This happened yesterday in my city. The governor who kicked off his campaign, half of the people there were booing. He is a Republican, and half of the people booing were Republicans. And that needs to happen more and more and more. People just, you know, we just need to all be fed up together. Go ahead, Alex. I think you got cut off. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I just want to make one final comment that it's not just the media, but we have to also address the overreach of the government, because it's to the point now where the government literally redacts or forces even social media to pull down even viral videos or viral threads on social media because they deem it a threat. And so if we don't address I think we're dealing with a runaway government, a tyrannical runaway government at this point at the federal level. And so if we don't address that, I don't even think social media matters. It won't matter, because as soon as your message becomes a threat to the establishment, it's just like Ron Paul said, truth is treason in an empire of lies. And that's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, I'm back. Trevor was calling on my cell phone, so I just had to give him the show number to call into. We're having one of those days today, aren't we?
Well, that's very true. Truth is treason in the communist or socialist manifesto. And in many, many ways, I think that we used to always think, well, regardless of how overreaching the federal government is, we have states' rights. Well, obviously, clearly, that's changing. And this didn't get this way overnight. But we as citizens, I think we just have to be committed to electing individuals who believe in liberties, who believe in our Constitution, and who don't waver from it. And their first elected official position may be a city council position, or maybe, a city clerk's position. Who knows what it could be? But we need to start monopolizing the lower levels of government and slowly groom that tree to grow, because it's not going to come from any of the political parties, period.
Well, we did have our guest on the line for a split second, and his call dropped. Something tells me that Skype is playing games with us, because I couldn't call in using Skype. I mean, that's what happened to me before. Dropped me. So we'll just see. Looks like we got him back again. Trevor, you're having problems with Skype today too.
Hi. No, I'm calling on the cell phone.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome aboard, Trevor Loudon. You have a fantastic book out, but I'm afraid to drop it on my foot. It's that thick.
It is thick, isn't it? It's all about the communists and socialists in the U.S. Congress, so there's lots of them.
I couldn't believe it, because when I was going through the book, I was doing a little quick speed reading to do some notes, and I'm saying, all right, fine. You've got it up until, let's see, somewhere around page 150 is basically you give a description. And then from there forward, it's basically breaking down who all these infiltrators are. So the first 150 pages of the book explains the tactics and what's going on, and then the rest of the book points out all of the individuals. And I thought that was
people have to know the background. They have to know how this is done, and that makes sense of it. Then they have to know the individual people involved. And that's certainly not all of them. I profile 51 members of the House and 14 senators, but that's just the more obvious cases. There are a lot more than that.
I actually was flabbergasted because, like I said, only 150 pages to describe their methods and, you know, what the different groups are, and the rest just naming. And like you said, that's not everyone. And this is 688 pages. This is one of a two-book set, of which I put the link up on our show page. So if anyone's interested in getting this book, The Enemies Within, you can go to trevorlowden.com. I also put it up earlier in the chat room, which I'm going to put it back up again, so people can take a look at this and really see how dangerous these individuals are.
Yeah, well, people see an Islamic threat to America, and they see all sorts of foreign threats, but very few people actually realize the old communist threat that we used to talk about in the 50s not only didn't go away, but today it's worse than it ever was. I say you've got at least 100 members of your House and 20 members of your Senate who couldn't pass a basic security clearance to clean the toilets at any military base in your country. And neither could your president, by the way.
I was just going to say that.
So that's a bit of an issue.
I would say it's quite a bit of an issue. Now, you're on a book tour. How long are you going to be here in the stateside?
I do 90 days, so nearly 3 months. I'm about 2 weeks into it, so I've got a long way to go yet. I'll be in Texas and Florida and Missouri and Kansas and Nevada and Utah and California, so covering quite a bit of the country.
Absolutely. You were here with us in Myrtle Beach just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a pleasure to see you again, I should say. I got my signed book right here, right next to my fat little hand, which I really enjoy.
It was great to meet you guys in person, you know, and there was a great convention at Myrtle Beach there, 600 people, all patriotic, all fired up. It was a really good event.
Yeah, it was. And one thing I don't know if I told you this, but there was a different electricity than the prior three conventions. There was a different excitement. I mean, you can go to some of these conventions and see people riled up, but the positive energy I was getting out of that, the positive responses I was getting, it wasn't all everyone just complaining. It was people saying, all right, fine, this is what we know is wrong, and this is what we should be doing to bring our country back around. It was more of a, okay, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work type of attitude.
Yeah, that's certainly the impression I got, Anne. It was a very positive event, and people, under no illusions, the problems they're facing, but there was certainly no air of defeatism or anything like that. It was very much an let's go get them, let's roll up our sleeves, let's do what has to be done type of mood.
Yeah, that is. Now, going on your book, the proceeds from your book goes to the Pacific Freedom Foundation, .org. What is that? Is that something that you're heavily involved in, or is that just, you know, an organization that you're...
Yeah, well that's my non-profit. It's based out of Nevada and Oregon. And that collects the proceeds of my sales and pays me a salary to, you know, to do consultancy work and to travel around and talk to people and that kind of thing. So it basically supports me. So the funding comes from the sale of books, et cetera, which goes to the non-profit, which then goes to – part of it goes to me to support my work around the country.
I was reading on the thing, on the Pacific thing, their motto – oh, I don't have it in front of me, dummy me – that you were working for the freedom of the children.
Well, you know, like we're all a generation, we've had a great life, and we've lived in the freest countries in the world, but our kids face a very different future if we don't do something. And that's what motivates me, and I think it motivates a lot of people that I see in the Tea Party movements and the Patriots movements. A lot of these people are parents or grandparents, and they want to see their kids live in a better country than they started with, not a far worse one.
All right. Now, I've got myself, I think, about 10 pages of notes, because I also, when I saw you, I bought that video, The Collapse of Communism, The Untold Story, Robert Buckner film. Bucker film? Bucker? I'll get that.
Yeah, Buchar. Robert Buchar. He's a film professor out of Chicago. He used to work in the Czech Communist President's office as a young man.
Yeah, because I watched the video last night and made a lot of notes. And then just before coming on the show, I was walking through the living room, and I'm seeing something about Putin on the screen. And all of a sudden, everything
right.
that was being done in this video, and as they were explaining it, I'm going, SOB. And here they are, and we're going to fall for it again, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, God. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. What is the communist big secret? You know, surely they've not become part of, they haven't become part of our government, have they?
Well, there are two big secrets of modern communism. The first one is that they borrowed from the devil, because the cleverest thing the devil ever did was to convince people he doesn't exist. And that's what the communists have succeeded in doing over the last 20 years. Most people think, A, they don't exist, or B, they're no longer a threat. And that's enabled them to get to make all sorts of great gains that they never would have made in the old days. So the real big secret of communism, which is what the book is about, is the ability of a tiny Marxist-Leninist party, maybe only a few hundred comrades strong, to influence and even control the legislative process in their country. So what I'm saying is that less than 20,000 American communists, through their control of the labor unions and the Democratic Party, are able to basically write the legislation that governs 300 million Americans. And that's what they're doing. You know, there's nothing of any significance that comes out of the Democratic Party these days that cannot be traced back to the Communist Party USA or Democratic Socialists of America or similar allied groups. That's quite a horrifying situation.
That it is. That it is. Because, you know, you take into account Obamacare, our social welfare programs, gun control. Now they're looking for the immigration amnesty. Are we actually facing now a centralized government, not what our founders thought about, you know, 50 states united, but now instead of having an individual state, just a single government now?
Oh, absolutely, and it'll be a socialist government. That's what is being planned, a massive centralization of power, the destruction of the autonomy of the state, and the destruction of the autonomy of individuals. That's why the gun grab, that's why Obamacare is not about health care. It's about centralizing power and getting people dependent on the state. The immigration debate is not about amnesty, is not about helping immigrants. It's about getting 8 million more votes for the Democrats to give them an absolutely invincible majority so the Republicans can never elect another president. That's what that's all about. So this is the model for this is really Venezuela under Hugo Chavez, or even Czechoslovakia in 1948 when the communists took over that country. This is a socialist revolution unfolding in America right now.
Now, everyone would say, you know, when they're listening to you say something like this, they said, wait a minute, didn't the Berlin Wall come down? Didn't communism collapse in 1989? You know, so why should we be worried today?
Well, finally it did, you know, and surely communism went into a big retreat at that time. But communism has always retreated. You know, in the 1940s, they dissolved the Communist Party in the United States. They just changed its name, effectively. They dissolved the Comintern also around that time during World War II. They kept the structure there. They just changed the name. You know, communism, the KGB still runs Russia. Even more rigidly than it did under the days of communism. And they worked very closely with the Chinese communists and the Cuban communists and the Nicaraguan communists and the Venezuelan communists and the North Korean communists and their Islamic allies. So while they've retreated in some ways, they've actually, most people think they're no longer a threat, so nobody does anything about them. And that's enabled them to come back into all sorts of areas that they never were before. And that's enabled them to make huge gains inside the United States Congress and the United States Senate.
Yeah, but the weird part is that here we are a unique nation, a nation based upon freedom. But yet, somehow or other, they're making it seem like communism is attractive. They're forgetting about the horrors underneath. There's some sort of indoctrination that they're doing. How the heck are they doing this?
Yeah, well, look, you know, to most young people in America today, communism is a Che Guevara T-shirt. They don't know nothing about Pol Pot or Stalin or Mao and the over 100 million people those people killed. They know nothing of it. So they just get told that, look, you know, socialism where the government gives you everything for free and looks after everybody and, you know, this is pretty cool. This is a great way to go for the future. And people, young people don't connect socialism with totalitarian communism, which it is basically a variant of. And so they're willing to go along with these handouts and freebies and socialized student loans and Obamacare and all this kind of stuff, because they know no better. They're not taught their history in schools. They don't know the horrors of the 20th century. So they have no fear of socialism. They have no fear of centralized government control. They don't understand the implications of it and where it's going to lead them. And the left has done a very good job of hiding their dirty past and giving young people of America and a sort of soft sell version of socialism to bait them into it, you know, to suck them in. They don't see the iron fist in the velvet glove.
No, they don't. But the curious way that they're using to implement it, they use things such as the unions. Now, here you would think the unions would be more for the common man than to be for a communism.
Well, look, that's a very good point because, you know, in America for a long time, the unions were run by hardcore anti-communists like Lane Kirkland and George Meany, and they were there to represent their workers. But in 1995, your largest Marxist organization, Democratic Socialists of America, which is a Gramsciist communist organization despite its socialist name, they took over the AFL-CIO that year, and they put their man John Sweeney in as president, and their man Richard, their protege Richard Trumka is leading it for them now. Now that was a complete takeover of the AFL-CIO, and that helped them to take over and influence the Democratic Party, because there's hardly a Democrat at any level in this country who doesn't owe his job to the labor unions. That's why the Democrats have gone so far to the left since 1995, and all the moderates like Joe Lieberman have been purged from the party. So to prove a point, though, there's a big debate in this country right now about legalizing illegal immigrants. At least 12 million of these people are here in the country. Some people on the right and left want to give them amnesty and citizenship and voting rights. Now, this is being driven by the unions. They are the key player in this, and especially the Democratic Socialists of America-controlled unions. Now, 20 years ago in America, the unions were leading the charge against illegal immigration. They were always lobbying Congress to increase penalties for any employer of illegal immigrants, because they saw that illegal immigrants were unfair competition for their members and would drive wages and conditions down. But now, in 2014, the unions are leading the charge to legalize illegal immigrants. Why the change? The change is because in 1995, the Marxists took over the unions. Before that time, they were there to represent the workers. Since that time, they were there to promote socialist revolution. Now, illegal immigrants, if they're legalized, they will give 8 million more votes to the Democrats. That will make America a one-party Democratic party controlled state, and the communists and socialists will control that state. So the unions are perfectly willing to sell out the wages and conditions of their members by encouraging mass illegal immigration, perfectly willing to sell out their own people because the revolution is more important. The revolution is more important than the wages and conditions of their members. And union members are being sold out right, left, and center by their leadership right now.
Well, you know, this is ironic because in our paper today here in Beaufort, South Carolina, on the business page, it caught my eye. Normally, I just skim past the business page, but every once in a while, something will catch my eye and going, and you end up with a big, oh, my God. Now, these are two articles side by side. This one, out of Columbia, goes, leaders welcome immigration discussion. And it's talking about how South Carolina industries such as tourism, agriculture, and home building are calling on Congress to pass comprehensive immigration policy. Directly next to that is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which we know is not favorable to small business, is having a huge job fair for veterans and their spouses. Now, it seems like those two are at opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, here we're trying to give jobs to Americans, and here we're giving jobs to illegals. We've got, they estimate something like, the true numbers, like 92 million Americans are out of work or are underemployed compared to 8 million immigrants. Surely we have enough jobs.
And this is exactly the point. You know, the union leaders and elements of big business don't give a damn about ordinary Americans. The union members want, the unions want the votes to increase their power and more members to increase their dues. Big business, like the Chamber of Commerce, has spent $1.7 billion in the last 10 years promoting amnesty. And it's very clear what they want. All they want is cheap labor to run their factories and farms and to drive down the general level of wages and conditions for American workers. That's very naked. It's very easy to see what they want. And they're pushing that ahead. Damn America's border security, damn America's national integrity, and damn the welfare of American workers, because their profits come first. And they are working hand in glove with the far left, who has their own agenda. So either way, American workers and the American middle class are getting screwed here. It's just appalling. So, you know, and that's why you have some Republicans promoting this. You know, if the illegals are legalized and get voting rights, the Republican Party is finished. They will never be able to win another presidential election. They can't overcome 8 million more Democratic Party votes. They just can't do it.
And which is why they're pushing for immigration reform now.
Well, they're pushing it now, but that's because they've been driven to do that by the Chamber of Commerce. Because the people like Lindsey Graham of your state and John McCain and Eric Cantor are pushing this because they're in the pocket of big business and the Chamber of Commerce to get cheap labor for the factories and farms. That's why they're doing it. But in doing that, they're destroying their own Republican Party, and in the long term, they're destroying their own country. You know, this is just short-sighted greed. This is short-sighted greed working hand in glove with hardcore socialist revolution. It's not a healthy combination for the American public, I'll tell you.
No. What gets me also is that here you got the Chamber of Commerce and other big businesses. They're actually shooting themselves in the foot. They're going to end up a short-term solution, but in the long run, they're going to lose everything.
Oh, exactly. They're going to be living in a high-tax country where the unions run everything, where big business, where all business is driven to the wall and the state controls everything. But they don't see that. All they see is profits over the next 2 or 3 years. That's all they look at. Just like the politicians look at the next 2 election cycles. They don't look at the long-term picture. But the communists do look at the long-term picture. They think in terms of decades and eons. They think they have history on their side. So they're willing to make plans that take 20, 30, 40 years to come to fruition. And they've been working on this for 50 years now, this immigration thing. And if it gets passed, this will be the crowning glory for them. This will be a socialist America, something they've been after for decades. And the some Republicans and elements of big business are helping them to do it because they're blind to what's happening.
Absolutely.
Trevor,
now,
what's your take on, say, Rand Paul, Tim Hulskamp, Justin Amash? Seems to be a not a strong group, but they seem to be, decent, small but well-organized group that's attempting to either thwart some of the things, or they seem to be making noise. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, somebody told me and correct me on this, but I thought Rand Paul had come out as pro-immigration, pro-legalization. What have you heard on that?
No, actually, the group I just claimed, I believe they're actually even saying they're going to challenge that in court, whether it's even legal. But no, Rand Paul,
okay, well,
has a separate immigration. But with that aside, they seem to be challenging an awful lot of what is establishment, the socialism.
Yeah, I see the hope for. Like the only force that can stop the Democrats in 2014 and 2016 is the Republican Party. But the big question is the character of that GOP, because if the old guard, the rhinos run it, they will wreck America. They will just sell out to the left all the time. But if the insurgents, the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Lees and the Jim Bridensteins and the Trey Gowdies and people of that caliber become ascendant, can have some hope, then America can have some hope of returning to its constitution and restoring its economy and restoring its place in the world. So it's a real battle for the soul of the Republican Party. If the old guy, if the old guard win, America is in big trouble. If the new guys, if the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruz's, if they're ascendant, America has a fighting chance.
What is the benefit? I don't see this, so maybe you can enlighten me on this. Okay, I have a company and I love cheap illegal help. What is the benefit if you surrender to a political party that eventually could really collapse you and not protect you? I just don't see that.
Well, these big business people and what they're thinking is they've got lots of money, they'll get lots of cheap labor, make lots of profits, and even if the Democrats become ascendant, they will just buy the Democrats out. They will just do what they've always done and buy certain politicians and get favors for themselves. They do not understand that today's Democratic Party is a socialist communist party. They have an agenda to totally transform the country and destroy business in the country. So while some of these Chamber of Commerce types might survive a bit longer than others by buying off certain politicians and buying favors, etc., in the long term, American business will be squashed, because even the big business that survives will have no small businesses to sell to, and the American people will be impoverished, so they won't be buying their products. And if America's impoverished, the rest of the world is impoverished. So really, it's a lose-lose situation. Big business, by cooperating with the left and the socialists and that, is heading for disaster, and they're just too short-sighted to see it.
Yeah. Now, your book, The Enemies Within, Communists, Socialists, and Progressives in the U.S. Congress, people can find that at trevorlowden.com, right?
Yes, you can. Or you can go to Pacific Freedom Foundation. You can also get the book on Amazon or Kindle or Nook. So it's pretty readily available.
What's the difference between a communist, a socialist, and a progressive? Or is there no difference?
The pronunciation and the spelling? there are distinctions. I'm being a bit facetious. But look, a communist, by my definition, of somebody who is a member of or supporter of an identified communist party. I'm talking the Communist Party USA, the Workers' World Party, Committees of Correspondence, Freedom Road Socialist Organization. They are identified Marxist-Leninist parties. The socialists in the book are mainly people affiliated with the Socialist Party USA or Democratic Socialists of America. They are And but the line is very blurred because Democratic Socialists of America are Marxist. They believe in Gramsci, the theories of the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci. So really, communists are just hardcore socialists, and socialists are just communist light. You know, it's just a matter of degrees and tactics. You know, Democratic Socialists of America can infiltrate the Democratic Party because they have a soft image. The Communist Party USA can't do it as easily. So therefore, if you want to infiltrate another organization, you call yourself socialist instead of communist, and it makes it easier. That's really the only distinction.
Would you consider Sotomayor, Judge Sotomayor of the Supreme Court, a communist?
I'd consider her a socialist, definitely. I don't know enough of her background. She's certainly of the hard left and out of the hard left orbit. I would certainly consider Yelena Kagan a socialist bordering on communist. But same with Ruth Ginsburg, you know. So there's a few of them in there. You know, they're a lot more hard left than people realize.
Also, that's teeth in backwards. Also, put up in the chat room the link to your book. Also, the link to the video that I had gotten from you, The Collapse of Communism. Because if people watch this video, the second they see communism, socialism, progressivism, whatever, they'll take another hard look. Because what I found is, I think the best statement in that whole video, it was, let me get to the page of my notes. I know why I wrote the guy's name down. He said, as if a piece of paper could ever stop that monster. Oh, it was by Vladimir Bukovsky. He was talking about all the different treaties that we've had with, you know, the USSR, now Russia, China. Basically, they signed the piece of paper knowing full well that they will never adhere to the treaty. And this is the same exact thing we're facing with Iran. Here we have the apple pie, George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, never tell a lie, you know, cross my heart and hope to die attitude here in the United States. And we think everyone else has that same attitude. But instead they say, ha, we'll sign the treaty, but we're not going to adhere to it.
Yeah. Look, there was a famous scene in a movie, Christopher Walken played a criminal boss, and a guy came to him and asked for a favor, and Christopher Walken betrayed him. And when he was confronted about it, Walken said, look, we're criminals. Our word's worth nothing. You know? And that's what you're dealing with. You know, you don't make treaties with the mafia or a street gang, and you don't make treaties with communists or Marxists either, because they don't have the same system of ethics that Americans do. They don't believe a treaty is just a tactical tool for them. It's not something you are bound by or should adhere to. It's just something you sign to get yourself some advantage for a period of time, and when it no longer suits you, you just ignore it. So it's a waste of time even signing anything with these people.
Yeah, it is, and yet we still continue to do it. You know, President Obama has been cutting back on our nuclear arsenal, but here they're allowing Iran to continue to develop nukes. And
Russia's got more than 6,000 nukes that we know about, and probably many more thousands that we don't. You know, and Obama is downgrading the U.S. nuclear arsenal, and even the arsenal that's left is not tamed. You've been making no new nukes now for nearly 15 years. Their shelf life is about 15 years. So you're slowly disarming by attrition. And do you think for one moment that if you're weak enough, the Russians and the Chinese will not take advantage of your weakness? You know, let's just look at world history. If they can get you in a position where they can win a war against you without too much cost, they will do it in a heartbeat. And that's what they're maneuvering towards now, and that's why they love Obama. They just love Obama because nobody has done more to destroy your military than he's done more to destroy your military than most standing armies could ever contemplate.
Yeah, that is true. And the worst part is, should we ever get into a military conflict with either Russia or China, They have unlimited manpower resources. They have no qualms about sending men and women to die just so they can gain an advantage. They forget the lesson of World War II, especially with Russia. They would send...
Absolutely. And it won't be against either Russia or China. If it's with one, it'll be both. They'll both gang up on you with Iran and all their you know, crypto communist regimes around the planet, Nicaragua, Cuba, whatever. You'll be fighting a 4 or 5 front war, not a 1 or 2 front war. But you know, look at China alone. China's got 30 million young men who will never marry. That's a huge, because of the one child policy. They've been aborting baby girls for years and years and years, resulting in a huge surplus of young men. Now, that's a social time bomb ticking, and the Chinese know that. What are they going to do with 30 million surplus young men? What better than to send them against America and cleaned up, but eventually get a foothold in America? What better use of those, you know, surplus young men?
We have a little bit of a funny debate going on in the chat room. We got a little bit of a debate going in the chat room. It goes back to when you were up at Myrtle Beach and you came out with the ideal dream team from the presidency on down. And there are questions about Ted Cruz's eligibility because he's not a natural-born citizen. But you got to go through that list for the presidential cabinet.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that when you stand one presidential candidate, you put all your eggs in one basket. And Mitt Romney got tarred with Bain Capital, and that destroyed his campaign. So, you know, everything was for nothing. And to win the next election, to beat the Democrats, you're going to need every single ounce of your base. You need the Libertarians who voted for Gary Johnson. You need the social conservatives and the fiscal conservatives and the 2 million Republicans who didn't vote last time and the 4 million evangelical Christians who don't vote at all. You need all of them to have any chance of winning. Now, what I would be doing, and all of those groups want something. They're all inspired by something. So if I was Rand Paul, if I was Ted Cruz, I would go to all of these groups and I'd say, I'm going to get in early. I'm going to put a man like Alan West in my VP ticket. I'd go to the Libertarians and I'd say, you vote for me this time, guys. I'll make Rand Paul Secretary of the Treasury, and he can do whatever he wants to the Federal Reserve and the IRS. For the for the Defense Conservatives, John Bolton, Ben Carson, Secretary of Health and Human Services. For the energy voters, I'd say Sarah Palin, Secretary of Energy. Drill, baby, drill. Drill in your backyard if you want to. Just open it up. You know, Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, Secretary of Labor, Mark Levin, Attorney General.
I love that
one. Go through, put a dream team together that can excite and inspire people. And for the Christians who care so much about the education of their children, I'd go to them and say, you vote for me this time, guys, and I'm going to make Dr. David Barton Secretary of Education, and Common Core will be gone. Your homeschool rights will be protected. So you get a team together that gives someone to every element of your base. And whenever I bring this up, people get, wow, yeah, they get excited and enthused and they want to get it out there and they just want to get it because you've never had a bigger base of constitutional conservatives and libertarians and patriots in your country as you have today. And you've got all these proven leaders out there, the Alan Wests and the Rand Pauls and the Mike Lees and the John Boltons and the Sarah Palins, who know what it needs to turn the country around. And if you can unite the base with the leaders, you'll create an unstoppable team. The media wouldn't be able to handle it. The left wouldn't be able to deal with it. And you could really, really take the election big time and really start restoring your republic.
Well, it is a dream team, but the big question is, who would you have as UN ambassador?
UN ambassador, I've thought long and hard about that one, and I would have for UN ambassador no one.
And I'd like to see the UN leave and go to Geneva.
look, if they can just bulldoze it into the East River, for all I'm concerned, you know, here it offers no benefit to the United States.
Okay, tell me, Trevor's lost again. I have no sound from Trevor.
Whether or not we lost him.
Well, his mic is still open. So, Trevor, just let us know if you can communicate. Oh, his call has dropped. His call has dropped. Let's hope he'll call back in.
I agree with what he says. Well, he'll call back. I agree with what he says. You either believe in it or you don't. You either fight for it or you don't. You either the Constitution means something or it does not. You know, and that's it. Is that if you're going to make a full-fledged transformation, you can't say, yes, here we have this. This is conservative. This is conservative. But to make the Dems or the Libs happy, we're going to do this. And we got Trevor back, but Trevor's right. We don't need them. Goodbye, good riddance, adios. And as far as I'm concerned, they can move to Canada. Go ahead, Trevor.
Well, what do you got against Canada? It's not very nice sending them to Canada.
They can move wherever they
want. Send them to a country that deserves them, like Zimbabwe or Iran.
France.
Was the United Nations, obviously when we formed it after World War II, was that in some ways the enemy slowly working its way into the U.S. more and more?
Absolutely. It's always been controlled by the Soviets. When I had a friend, a New Zealander, who infiltrated the New Zealand Communist Party in the 80s, and he was sent to Moscow to train at Lenin's Institute, the big communist school in Moscow. 6,500 students were there. And they were told there, the United...
Oh, no. Trevor's going to have a bad signal. Oh, man. Now, he was talking about going to the schools. Yeah, when you join the Communist Party, you are sent over to Moscow, and some of the things they teach you is about racial manipulation, about the power of the peace movement and infiltrating it, about infiltrating trade unions. And this is a school in Moscow that is bent on destroying the West. And if you think it's still not going on, look who is the president in Russia. Putin. Putin is KGB. Putin's still a communist. So, folks, you got to take a look at this video, The Collapse of Communism, The Untold Story. I put a link up in the chat room, and I'll put it up again in a few minutes. And you've got to get Trevor's book. You can get it at trevorlowden.com. And let's hope Trevor can call back in again. But to get the video, just go to here we go. We got Trevor back again. Trevor,
yeah,
you're back on.
Sorry about that. There's a problem with my phone. It's a bit embarrassing.
Oh, that's all right. We've had worse. All right.
Yeah, but as I was saying, the Soviets always regarded the United Nations as their tool. It was set up by communists. It's been run by communists and socialists and anti-Americans ever since. It offers no benefit whatsoever to the United States.
No, and what is it? We cover about, I think they said, 20% of the budget for the UN, we get absolutely nothing out of it.
You pay for your own destruction. It's a dagger aimed at your heart, and you pay for it.
It's a great deal for them.
Yeah. Maybe you should send it to Canada.
I was going to make a comment regarding something you and Annie agreed on, and I disagree on. I think when we talk, I don't care if China had 50 trillion people. Clearly, throughout history and wars, our soldiers are the best trained and the best. We could wipe out the entire planet. Nobody's trained better than us. We proved this in World War II. Not even the Germans or whoever could match. One of our guys can wipe out a million of those guys. So they're collapsing up from within. They know they have.
That's the plan. They know they couldn't take you out when you're strong. But you look what Obama's doing to our military now. He's driving all the good people out. He's purging generals. The gay policy is designed to lower morale, as is the woman in combat policy. He is gutting your military. And it will come to a point at some stage where you cannot beat the combined forces of your enemies. What happens when you've got 200 nukes? When you've got 200 nukes left, and the Russians have got 6,000 of them, their plan is to nuke the continental United States, then invade what's left with Chinese troops. That's the plan. And if you carry on the way you're going on, you'll be very vulnerable to that.
Oh, that's very true. That's accurate. You know, part of the reason Russia was getting crushed to Germany in World War II was the fact that Stalin, so paranoid about, he had all these generals killed that knew military.
Yeah.
So basically,
he killed the leadership of his own army, which almost cost him his country.
Yeah. Do you think, Trevor, do you think that in many, many ways, you see a lot of these career politicians, and they've been in office a long time. What are the chances at a very young age, with the president being one of them, basically at birth, visionaries of communism say, "This, we're going to groom this person as they do anyone else," and by the time they're they're soldiers, and they educate them and they groom them in the communist ways. And sure enough,
yeah,
they rise to power within its own country to demise its own republic.
Look, absolutely. You know, the communists have been doing that for a long time. They'll pick out promising young black or Latino kids, train them up, guide them, use the unions to get them into power. And your Congress has several of them there. That's a common phenomenon. I think Obama is the crown, and there's the jewel in the crown. He's the best example. He was picked out at birth for a very high office, and he's been groomed and guided ever since. No question about it.
Yeah. Now, some of the stuff I was learning, the Czech president, I cannot pronounce his name today, Vaclav Havel,
seems to
be a Soviet agent. So far, we've had the CIA, the FBI, and the DHA, NSA also, infiltrated by KGB. But we have not been able to get one of our agents inside the KGB. It all goes one way. KGB is hooked up with organized crime. They're partners. They're part of 65% of Latin America. They do the worldwide money laundering. They get active assistance from the following companies: Bank of America, Citibank, Wells Fargo. We have no idea how much a big, excuse my language, pile of shit we're stepping in, and we can't even smell it. Okay, did we lose Trevor again?
Well, I don't know. I feel so bad
for him.
Yeah, well, maybe Putin's got a little remote control, so every time it's Trevor, it's his time to talk, he pushes disconnect.
Yep, his line has dropped once again. But we did have open up for Thomas, who's called in. Thomas, you're on the air.
Hey, Andy, I just wanted to make two points. You know what? We have a tendency to forget, just like the truth of the matter is this. While our NSA, our intelligence agencies, they've been doing all the crazy things in the name of, you know, this administration, why is it hard for we as Americans to actually acknowledge and hold on to that little hope that there are still individuals in our intelligence who are deep cover? And when I say deep covers, Mike knows what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the black ops have black ops who are watching these individuals who are actually thinking that they are one-upping us. See, the thing of it is, and correct me and tell me if you guys think I'm an idiot in what I'm saying, feel free, people call me idiot before, but I believe that there is one last grasp. They try to close the door and fully implement their agenda. Something within me, and I can't shake this, and I've felt this for many years, and this is why I don't get caught up in the hand-wringing. There is a final solution from the good guys that said that is going to let them know, if you take this nation, we're going to inflict heavy, heavy, massive damage upon you.
Well, Trevor, did you want to try to take that?
Yeah, look, I would like to think that too, but I think it's not something to rely on. You know, and the South Africans, when the communists and the ANC took over South Africa, a lot of white South Africans thought similarly. They thought there was going to be some uprising and there were people in place who were going to stop this happening, and it didn't happen. The same happened in Rhodesia. The same has happened in virtually every communist takeover. People have thought there was a sort of some force that was hidden away secretly that was going to save them at the last moment, and it has never once materialized. So
except,
I can't say it isn't there.
Trevor,
sorry?
You forget one thing. They have not successfully disarmed 200 million Americans. Case in point, I just read yesterday.
That is a great thing you've got on your side, the fact that America has a Second Amendment and so many Americans are armed. But if they can disarm you externally, if they can cut your nuclear weaponry, and they can nuke your country, they don't really care that you've still got guns and AR-15s and whatever. So I think, you know, we've got to win this thing electorally, because we can't rely on force to do this, because it's too unreliable and too dangerous, and too many people are going to die.
Yeah, I wish it was them though, but I digress.
Yeah, well, look. I hope you're right, sir. I really do. But I wouldn't be relying on it.
Right. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Trevor. Just so you know, as of right now, your book is currently been filed. I have sent them a message under a request, and it's being processed as we speak. This is they'll order it by Friday morning, so it will be part of the Grand Rapids Public Library. I always like books on enemies from within. Number one is because in so many ways, it's almost like people don't see, but it's almost like, wow, this person is so amazing. Look at all the good they're doing. And they're the one. They're the one you need to look out for. I mean, with all their gimmicks and labels. And I love saying this. The people who talk about all this stuff is free. They're the number one people you need to look out for. It's all free.
Absolutely. We've reversed things in America. Once it was the people who stood up for something and stood up for principles who were the heroes. Now they are the villains, and the people who want to give things away and enslave you, they are now the heroes. So, you know, I call it the smear test. If you're a leader and you haven't been smeared, you're probably not on the right side. That's the way it is. Look, if Ted Cruz wasn't effective, he wouldn't be smeared. If Rand Paul wasn't effective, he wouldn't be smeared. If Ron Paul hadn't been effective, he wouldn't have been smeared. You know, but who smears Obama? You know, he's totally immune to that kind of thing, because the media just won't go near it.
Absolutely. It's like he's got Teflon. As our friend Mike Cutler says, it's bass awkward. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on our guest here on Friday. But Trevor, I mean, the book is absolutely wow. Absolutely wow. I have to tell everyone, they have to have this book on their bookshelf, because it's like an encyclopedia. If there's someone out there you're not sure of, you go to this book. If their name is in it, then you already know. If it's even in the glossary, then you know you got a problem with that person. I also brought Sue on from New Mexico, because she's been listening to the show the entire time, and I always enjoy her having a small comment. Sue?
Hey, hi. Trevor, I think you're 100% right. I think that the election, the midterm elections, are probably some of the most important in the history of the United States for saving America, even more so than 2016. Because we have to change the corrupt politicians that are in Congress, and we have to do it now. There's no more time.
You're absolutely correct, Sue. And unfortunately, Trevor's call has dropped again. I feel so bad for this, our guest. I mean, My goodness. He must have the world's worst cell reception. And I thought I had problems with Skype earlier.
Well,
oh,
it's actually time to say goodbye as it is, so.
Yeah, and we've got some great guests lined up. We've got coming in on Friday my friend Mike Cutler. He's the immigration expert. He worked for INS. Actually, I didn't even know that we were working in the same area at the same time when I was in Brooklyn. So Mike Cutler will be joining us on Monday. And Trevor's trying to come back in, and then his call just dropped again. Followed by the guy can't win for trying. Followed by next Tuesday, we're going to have Kay Carl Smith with the Frederick Douglass Republicans. He'll be our guest on next Tuesday. So we've got some great people lined up. And I'm working on the rest of the week, the rest of the shows coming up. But I remind everyone, we're not just on BTR. We're also on Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina. I want to say thank you for everyone that's been in the chat room participating. We've had some lively conversation here. And I had a great time in the show, Mike. I had a lot of fun.
Well, Trevor's always a great guest, and he always adds a perspective from a perspective. So that's terrific. And we will see everybody.
Well, we've got Trevor back for the – Mike,
yeah.
We've got Trevor back
Look,
for
I'm
last.
I'm sorry to Sue. I didn't hear all of the question, all of the comment. And I think I'm going to go down and buy a new phone. This is just very frustrating.
I hope so. But, Trevor, you're welcome back anytime. And before you leave to go back to New Zealand, why don't we do it again?
Yeah, look, I'd love to. I'm here for another couple of months, so there will be opportunities for sure. And it's always great to be on with you, Ann.
I'm actually going to meet you in Peoria, Illinois. I believe it's a week from Friday. So.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Yeah. I'm going to be wearing a red bandana, so when I approach you, don't run.
A red bandana and carrying a copy of the New York Times under your arm. Okay. Okay. No, I look forward to it.
Me too, my friend. Me too. Annie?
Thank you so very much, Trevor, and I'll be talking to you very soon. Oh, man, awesome guest. So I want to thank everyone
Bye-bye.
I want to thank everyone for listening in and our guest, Trevor Loudon. Please, please take a look at his book, trevorloudon.com, and also look at this video, the collapse of communism.com. The video is going to open up your eyes wide. So until Friday, I want everyone to have a happy, healthy, and safe week, and say good night and God bless.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. Will you stand up? Don't down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American.